Questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, ow, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn.
Yes, it is. And this morning in the studio, we have got Debbie Johansson, who is a PhD candidate in the Department of Psychological Medicine. Morena, Debbie, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, thanks. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for coming in. We're talking about robots today, and we've talked about robots on this segment before, and usually people are like, oh, you know, it's just a little box and it doesn't have any sort of personality about it or anything. These robots are pretty, you know, space age science fiction movie robots. Tell us a little bit about what this is all about, Debbie. What is your research interested in?
So my research is looking at medical robots. So that's robots that will be working in hospitals or healthcare environments, maybe even home environments. And basically what I was interested in is the kinds of behaviors that these robots can exhibit in order to make the interactions with people and patients more comfortable.
Okay, that's really interesting. So I'm looking at a couple of pictures here. One of them is of a fairly realistic but still quite uncanny valley sort of robot woman's face. How is this kind of research being conducted at the moment?
So for my research, I ran it through the University of Auckland. So I had participants that would come in and they would interact with the robot. Because it was a healthcare robot, I asked participants to imagine that they were at their GP's office.
Okay. Yeah.
And then they interacted with the robot doing a number of tasks. So I'd say to them, can you pretend that you're booking in for a doctor's appointment, or you're asking directions to the pharmacy, or you're here to get the flu jab and you're asking more about the flu vaccine and what it involves?
Yeah. So what were some of the things that you found from those interactions? How did people find talking to a robot about that stuff?
Yeah, so it was really interesting because one of the robots is, like you were saying, is quite lifelike. She's got a silicone skin, eyelashes, eyebrows. She looks very human. So when people would first see her, if it was the first time they'd seen her, they were quite, some people were quite freaked out, and other people were more sort of interested in her. Lots of people would ask me, can I touch her? Like, can I touch her face before we began the experiment? We actually found in one of the experiments that we did quite early on, we found no difference between the groups when we had people interact with the robot. And that's because they were so excited about interacting
that's
with
so
the robot
that
they gave it fantastic marks no matter what it did or didn't do. So for my later experiments, what I would have is people interact with the robot just talking about something sort of related to the experiment, and then have them do the actual sort of experimental part of the experiment they weren't so overwhelmed with the excitement that they could then sort of judge the robot properly on what it was doing.
It must be really interesting, I guess, to see people kind of have these conversations, because this is something that I guess gets talked about a lot in pop culture, and it's really interesting to see it happening in, you know, a practical way in medicine. What are some of the things that the robot does to, I guess, make it more of a natural interaction between the patient and the robot itself?
Yeah, so one of the experiments I did that I really enjoyed personally is we looked at the robot using humor. Because if you look at interactions between doctors and patients or nurses and patients, they'll often use humor to try and put people at rest and, you know, make things a bit easier. So we had a robot interact with two groups of people, telling people about the flu, the influenza virus, and tips to avoid catching the flu. And then it also spoke about a flu vaccine and how they could book in and get the flu vaccine.
Right.
So in one of the groups, the robot used humor, and one of the groups, it didn't. So in the humorous group, it would say things like, when it was talking about the influenza virus, it would say things like, I caught a computer virus last year and it was terrible, and that'll teach me for using a strange computer's flash drive.
Right.
And it would say these sort of funny little things to participants.
Yeah.
Because we wanted to see where the participants kind of just thought, oh, that's weird, okay.
Yeah.
Whether it actually changed the way that they viewed it, and it did. So
that's so interesting.
Yeah.
Everybody likes a little bit of an icebreaker, even if it's a bit, you know, a bit eggy or something like that.
Yeah.
It's kind of, it does help you relax a little bit in a space. So it wasn't just this kind of extremely, you know, lifelike robot. You also have a little robot-y robot as well. Mm-hmm. How did people interact with that one?
So that one people actually seem to generally really like.
Yeah.
He's quite cutesy, like if you see a picture of the
robot.
Got
a bit of a Wall-E vibe about it.
Yeah. It's a very cutesy little robot, and it's spoken almost like a childlike voice.
Yeah.
So people really like that robot, and when it would move and do things, people were like, oh my God, it's so cute, I love it, look what it's doing. Even if they weren't even you know, supposed to be looking at it in that way.
Yeah.
But we use that robot mainly because it's got a lot more movement compared to the other robot, which you've seen, which is a head-only robot.
Yeah.
So the other robot could move and it could bow and it could sort of lean forward to demonstrate attention to people.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So how is this going to be, or is this going to be something that we start seeing in GP practices and stuff like this? Are you hoping that that's going to be something we see? What's your kind of personal feeling on it after doing this research? Do you think it's the future?
I personally do. Mm-hmm. I think healthcare robotics are definitely in their infancy. There's a lot more work that needs to go into them. But I think we will see them sort of supporting healthcare workers in the future in places like GP clinics and hospitals. And if you just sort of look at the behaviours, like when we did the humour study and the robot used the humour, participants rated it significantly higher in terms of its likability and its safety even, which is really important. Its animacy, its empathy. And so if we can have a robot that exhibits behaviours that make people think, oh, it seems to care about me and it seems quite safe to interact with this robot, then obviously that's what we want to be doing, because if people are scared of it, they're going to avoid it completely.
Totally. Yeah. And this is a question that I'm personally quite interested in. How is it going to, I guess, like augment the experience of being in a doctor's clinic or in a hospital or something? Why not just have a person doing these things?
Well, the main reason you would have healthcare robots sort of is that there's a growing shortfall between the amount of people that can provide healthcare services and the amount of people that require it. Mm. And that's getting bigger and bigger every year, especially as people are getting older and they're living longer because healthcare is better. So we need to have something that can kind of fill that gap.
Totally.
And that's where the robots can come in.
Yeah.
So hopefully they can be developed to a point where they can slot in there and they can help people, sort of supporting them before they see the doctor, or supporting them while they're at home and they just need a little bit of help.
Totally. So, I mean, I'm imagining this would be something that's quite popular with kids, especially this cute little lovely one that you've got here. It is a really interesting possibility for the future, isn't it?
What would you say to someone listening who's like, oh my God, the robots are going to take over. This is the end. Why are they doing this? Like, what do you say to people that are very, very hesitant about it?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, because there is a lot of movies where the robots do take over and do all sorts of horrible things. But, I mean, the robots that I'm working with, you know, so I'd run a study and people would come in and say, do you think they're going to take over? Do you think they're going to do something? And I'd sort of say, well, this one's 30 centimetres high.
Yeah.
And it's plugged in with a cable.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to really be able to do anything. And this one's just a head.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so I think they're a long way off from really being a problem.
Yeah.
But I would like to think that we would design them in a way that they would be supportive and empathetic and helpful to the human race, as opposed to being dangerous in any way.
Exactly. Good to know. Very good to know. Hey, Debbie, thank you so much for coming in and chatting to us about healthcare robots. It's really interesting. Debbie Johansson, who is a PhD candidate in the Department of Psychological Medicine. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn, thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university.